When you picture tracing your family tree, you probably imagine this dusty family Bible.
Yeah, like faded ink, cracked leather bindings, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Or
Yeah.
maybe a box of sepia-toned photographs up in an attic somewhere. I mean, it feels incredibly personal, intimate, really.
Yes.
But today, we're doing a deep dive to show you how that dusty attic has been completely replaced by, well, nuclear-proof vaults, private equity firms, and artificial intelligence.
It's a wild transition.
It really is. We're looking into the geopolitics of ancestry today. Basically, our mission is to give you a shortcut to understanding how human history morphed into this multi-billion dollar data moat.
Right. And to understand this massive data ecosystem, you first have to look at the two radically different superpowers that are hoarding all these records.
Okay, lay it out for us.
So on one side, you have the LDS Church, which operates FamilySearch, but their drive isn't commercial at all. It's a theological mandate. They need to perform religious ordinances for the dead. And because of that specific doctrine, they've amassed an astounding 22.7 billion searchable records.
Wait, 22.7 billion. That is, I mean, that's hard to even wrap your head around.
It's unbelievable. And the physical anchor of this whole operation is the Granite Mountain Records Vault.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah, so picture a facility carved about 600 feet into quartz monzonite, which is practically solid rock. It's literally designed to withstand a nuclear blast.
Wow.
Yeah, and it holds the equivalent of 3 billion pages of human history. So you take that nonprofit theological mission, right, and you contrast it with Blackstone Inc.
The finance guys.
Exactly. They are this massive global asset manager, and they bought Ancestry for $4.7 billion.
That's billion with a B.
Right. And their goal was turning genealogy into a high-yield, subscription-based data moat, meaning a database so deeply entrenched and massive that no competitor could ever possibly recreate it.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second. It's basically like a massive public library striking a deal with a private toll road.
That's actually a really good way to put it.
Yeah, because these two entities have this wild symbiosis. The LDS Church shares their raw, digitized images from the vault.
Right.
And then Ancestry spends millions indexing them.
Exactly. And in exchange for footing that bill, Ancestry gets an exclusive restricted period where only their paying subscribers can search those specific records.
But there's a catch, isn't there?
A huge one. The bottleneck here is human limitation. I mean, Ancestry is paying millions to index these records, but humans physically cannot type fast enough to process billions of pages.
Right, they hit an operational brick wall.
Yeah. So the only way to make this $4.7 billion investment actually work is to bring in artificial intelligence to basically rewrite archival science.
Because we aren't just talking about typing up clean printed documents. We are talking about like 17th century cursive that barely even looks like English.
Oh, it's basically a different language. So AI is stepping in with something called probabilistic identity.
Probabilistic identity.
Yeah. Instead of just reading a name, the AI acts like a detective weighing evidence. So, say it sees the name John Smith, born in 1820, on a census.
Okay.
And then it finds another J. Smith, married in 1845, in the exact same town. It uses mathematical models to score how likely those are the exact same person rather than two different guys.
Oh, I see.
It aggregates the probabilities of different biographical claims like birth dates, migration patterns, that sort of thing, to give you a mathematical score of how likely a person actually existed in that specific way.
Wait, here's where it gets really interesting to me. So AI is basically grading human existence on a curve.
Pretty much, yeah.
So if my great-grandfather has an 85% certainty score, what happens to the other 15%? Is he just like 15% of phantom?
Well, he's not a phantom, but that 15% represents the algorithm's mathematical doubt. It means the AI thinks maybe the 19th century census taker misspelled his name or, conflated him with another guy living a town over. And that exact doubt is creating a massive tension in the industry right now.
How so? Like, who cares about a little bit of doubt?
Well, the LDS Church is highly incentivized to aggressively use this AI to purge duplicates. For them, theological accuracy is paramount.
Oh, right, because of the religious ordinances.
Exactly. A clean, singular record is a requirement for them. But commercial entities, they face a really serious dilemma here.
Let me guess. If AI cleanses their databases and removes all the duplicates or unverified phantom ancestors, their advertised record volumes drop.
You nailed it. And if the numbers drop, the perceived value drops.
Ah, yeah. Subscribers might get pretty fatigued if they find out the 30 billion records they pay to access is suddenly, I don't know, 20 billion.
Or even worse, if they discover their own carefully researched family tree is suddenly flagged by an algorithm as highly speculative.
Oh man, people would hate that.
Which is exactly what happens when you turn human history into a subscription model.
So, what does this all mean for you listening at home? The next time you get one of those little vibrating family tree hints on your phone, you have to realize it's not just some dusty record magically surfacing.
Definitely not.
It is a mathematical probability, intricately shaped by global privacy laws, religious mandates, and corporate valuations.
And here's something else to think about. As AI gets better at deduplication, we are actually entering a period of archival contraction.
Archival contraction, that sounds ominous.
It just means these massive global databases are going to shrink as the errors are purged, which really leaves you with a final thought to mull over.
Hit us with it.
If a probabilistic AI suddenly determines with 99% certainty that the famous historical ancestor you've always bragged about at dinner parties never actually existed at all, will you trust the math? Or your family's dusty old Bible?